Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
Jesus' name. Now, we've been looking at furnished and prepared, and basically we're talking about the finished works of Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. And all the ministers of God and the prophets that have come earlier before me have talked in detail and have talked fully on the issue of the things that Christ has provided for us. An average disciple walking with the Lord needs to know three things. One, he must be well versed in the basic rudiments of Christ, in the basic things that God has provided through his death, his sufferings, his death, and his resurrection. Praise God. Which is what Prophet Adam beautifully walked upon. Praise God. The second thing is that that person must learn how to appropriate that reality into his life. That is that you must be able to stand upon that thing which Christ has done. Hallelujah. And then finally, an average disciple must also be able to deploy these truths that he has known. He must be able to release his faith, which is what I want to talk about this morning. How to release your faith. You see, grace provides, faith takes. Grace provides, faith takes. Hallelujah. Funny enough, of course, I didn't know how we were going to tie up the teaching, because I wasn't the only one who was going to minister at 360. But I had already decided before 360, or let me say I decided, it came into my heart by the Holy Ghost that in November I was going to be teaching on how to release your faith. That's my teaching topic for November. And by the time we are finishing 360, the assignment had become clear why the Holy Spirit said to me that the teaching in November should be how to release your faith. So you can take this possibly as part one of how to release your faith. Praise God. And today I want to do it in a summary and within the time that has been allocated to me by the grace of God. I want to teach you three ways that you can release your faith. Praise God. That is that Christ died, right? Hello? Hello? How many of us remember what Prophet Adam taught us? The sufferings of Christ and the death of Christ, right? And the sufferings and the death of Christ was what provided whatever God wants to give to us, isn't it? Revelation chapter 5 verse 12. Can we have Revelation 5 verse 12 quickly? Let me just establish something quickly so that we are... Revelation 5 12. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Right? Who is he talking about? Who is he talking about? What happened to Jesus? He was slain, right? Worthy is the Lamb that was what? Slain. That was slain. What was he to receive? And what? And what? And what? And what? And what? And what? So the reason that Jesus died was so that he may receive what? Power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. Now I want to ask you a question. What does Jesus need all of that for? I'm asking, what does Jesus need it for? Does Jesus need power in heaven? He is already powerful. Hallelujah. Does Jesus require riches in heaven? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Did you read about the New Jerusalem? That the streets, they didn't find what to use for coltar. So sell your life, you are celebrating God, you should be ashamed of yourself. When we get to heaven, the street is made of gold. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So what you consider as the most important treasure here is the least when you get to heaven. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That he may have wisdom. Scripture already told us that Jesus is the wisdom and the power of God. So he doesn't need, there's no wisdom you can add to him. Are we together? That he might receive strength. He is the King of kings and the Lord of all lords. That he may receive honor. That he may receive glory. John, the Revelator, when he saw Jesus in the book of Revelations, he didn't look like the Jesus he knew when he was on the earth. He saw Jesus in his honor. when he speaks about Jesus and describes Jesus in the book of Revelation, there was no relationship between that Jesus and the Jesus that we know. That is why when Jesus was about to depart, Jesus made a prayer. He said, Father, I have done what you have me to do. I have brought glory to your name. He now said, now glorify me with the glory that I had with you. In other words, there was a glory Jesus had with God before he came. But in order for him to stand with man, Jesus dropped that glory and took the form of a man, even the form of a servant. Are you understanding what we're saying? So Jesus is not looking for any glory. He already has glory. Are we understanding that? But all of these things, he received them on our behalf. So before he checked out, he said, all power in heaven and on the earth has been given to me. Now I give it to you. Go in my name. Is anybody understanding that? Now, how do I access these things that Jesus died for? It is by faith. Is that all right? What did I say? How do you access it? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, that he that comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Are we understanding that, church? Now listen to me. I'm doing a synopsis. I will go into the full teaching during the rest of the weeks of this month and then into the month of November. But today I'm doing a synopsis. Now listen. I want to summarize it quickly for you in 3 points. How do I release my faith to enter into the things that God has for me? By the way, I hope you know that every one of us already has faith. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? I hope you know that every one of us already has faith. Not our own faith, but the faith of Jesus. Are we understanding that? We have already received a measure of faith. Are we in agreement with that? I said, are we in agreement in that? Every one of us has a measure of faith. I think that is Romans chapter 10. Is it 10? 12 verse 3. Romans 12, 3. Can we have that? Romans 12, 3. Romans 12, 4. I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man. Tell your neighbor you have faith. Tell your neighbor you have faith. Can I say something to you? The pastor does not have more faith than you. Prophet Adam does not have more faith than you. Pastor Chintok does not have more faith than you. What they probably have more than you that you think is that they have the capacity to deploy more of their faith than you do. Are we understanding what I'm saying? If you go to battle and they give you various weapons, right? If they give you a dagger, if they give you a machine gun, if they give you a pistol, if they give you a rocket launcher, right? There may be somebody who can use a pistol, but cannot use a rocket launcher, cannot use a machine gun. Is that all right? So that person is limited to his capacity to use the pistol. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Another one has the capacity to use the pistol, but he also has the capacity to use a machine gun, and he has the capacity to use a rocket launcher. Now, the person that has the cap, all of them were trained as soldiers, but their capacities are different. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? So when you see men that seem to be doing more, it's not because God gave them more. It's because they can deploy more of what has been given to everybody. Are we together? Now, having established this, I want to just, in a summary, tell you, and then we will look at it from Scripture. 3 ways to deploy your faith. Number one is to receive it. When I say receive it, I will explain. Receive it. I want to make it very simple. Receive it. Say it or confess it. Is that all right? Receive it. Say it or confess it. Do it. Let's take it again. How do you do it? Receive it. Say it or confess it, do it. Help me tell 3 people. Okay, remove the or. Let's just do. Receive it, Say it, do it. Can you remember that? Let's do it for the last time. Receive it, say it, do it. Receive it. I'm coming. I'm going to a teaching now. Why did we say receive it? How many of you remember the teaching of Pastor Chintok? How many of you remember the illustration he gave us? How many of you remember the illustration? What was the illustration? If you are going to operate in faith, it is no more I that live, but Christ that lives in me. So how do I operate? By what? I operate by what Jesus is telling me. You remember? You remember? So you are Jesus. You are Jesus. Yes. So you are the one. So I'm following you. You are telling me where to go. You are supposed to be in front. Okay, I forgot. Jesus is the one in front. I'm the one behind Jesus. So I'm now following Jesus. Eh? I'm now following Jesus. I'm now following Jesus. I'm now. Are you hearing me? Let me explain to you. Faith cometh by. Who are you hearing? I said, who are you hearing? I'm trying to bring this thing as simple to, as to the earth. Can you give me that scripture? Romans chapter. Here, faith cometh by hearing. Romans 10:17. Give it to me. Guys, please reduce the video. We need the scriptures. So then means, I wish I had time today. So then means, if you didn't know, faith comes how? Cometh how? By hearing, and what? Hearing by the word of God. So let's do some Bible class. You know, Pastor Chintok taught us. And when I say Pastor Chintok taught us, he is not the producer of that revelation. It's the Bible that is. But I'm using him so that you will remember that he taught us. Right? That the Bible says, sacrifices and offerings have you not desired, but my ear have you opened. Is that not so? Why are you opening my ear? So that you can say something to me. In other words, real faith is hearing what God is saying. Are you getting me? Faith, listen to me. Listen to me, Christians. Faith, bazuchi abene. I made up my mind. It's not willpower. It's not, are you hearing what I'm saying? Faith is not willpower. It's not a decision. It's not that you entered your room and decided. I want to go a little further in this matter. Can I say something to you? Faith in its first and purest form is not what you want. Is anybody hearing me? Because if you see faith as getting what you want, God will become a tool. Let me say it further. If you see faith as getting what you want, you will pick and choose what God is telling you. So every time God makes a demand on you that does not suit your convenience, you will not. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So every time you are doing something, you will only pick those things that suit your own plans. So God now becomes a tool in your hand. And listen to me, that is the problem with the 21st century believer. God has become a tool. We use God to get what we want. We don't care about what he wants. But if faith comes by hearing what God is saying, there is no way God will be telling you only what you want, and he will never tell you what he desires. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Because it is he that works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? If God gives you a house, it's more than just for your own comfort and convenience. There is something that God wants to use that house for that is beyond your own comfort and convenience. Are you hearing me? Listen to me. If you understand this, greed will be broken over your life. You see, if you really come to the place of faith, God will not only work to give you things, but he will work on your life to make you acceptable to him. Oh, you are silent on me. I said you are silent on me. So men who have actually walked by faith, the first thing they arrived after was not accessing material things. The first thing they arrived at was pleasing God. The Bible says, for faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Who did they obtain a good report for? Before God. That is why when you actually walk in faith, you will come to understand that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Sir, is it your house or your car that pleases God? No, it's your life that pleases God. Is anybody getting what I'm saying tonight? So faith comes by hearing. By hearing. Now I want to show you the technology of hearing. Because we have been taught with good intention, but often wrongly or improperly or inadequately. Can I have two protocol officers? Quickly, please. I have a very few minutes. Pastor Mao, come. Or is it okay? Let me not use Miriam. Miriam would have been the best person, but I'm not sure Miriam wants to come out here and for me to use her. So Miriam received majority of our guests, right? So let's say when Pastor Apagu came in the night, right? He came late in the night. When he told me he was coming, I sent a message to Pastor Mao. Pastor Mao possibly forwarded the information to you about him, right? Now, when he was coming, what the first question you will ask him, which car are you coming with, right? Or from where are you coming, right? So you say to you, let's assume, is that right? I took Borno Express or I took whatever, is that all right? This is the color of the car, right? So you are like Auntie Miriam now. You are standing and waiting at the park. Is that not so? To see, let's assume, the Borno Express. Please sit down, sir. The Borno Express. So let's assume this is Pastor Apagu. He had communicated to you that he is coming. How will you know he is coming? You can sit down, Auntie Miriam. He is inside. So this is the bus. This is Borno Express. Pastor Apagu, no, you are inside Pastor Apagu, you are inside the Borno Express. Thank you. The way I will identify Pastor Apagu, since I am not inside the bus, is to be able to identify the bus. Are you getting me? So that when I see the bus and the identity of the bus, maybe the number of the bus, even if I have not seen him, I know he is inside that bus. So I can follow that bus into the park. Is that all right?
Yes, sir.
So I want to show you something tonight. Many times in the teaching of faith, we were taught that if you are trusting God for something, carry the Bible and be reading it. If you read it, find a scripture that agrees with what you are looking for. And that is, you have arrived at faith. I wish to submit that the people who taught you that were correct. But they were not completely correct. You see, what scripture said to us was that faith cometh by what? By hearing. Now, can I have two? How many people studied English here? You studied English. I know Pastor Ruth studied English. Where's Pastor Ruth? Come now, Pastor Ruth, you studied English. Why are you hiding? Who else studied English? You studied English somewhere. Who? Okay, come quickly. Walk fast. I don't have time. Walk fast. Jemima studied English. Okay. Me too, I studied English. Don't worry. Me too, I studied English for 3 years. Okay, let me ask you. Faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. So, what do you understand by that? Okay, let me simplify it for you. If you say faith cometh by hearing, faith and the word of God, are they the same?
No, sir.
They're not the same.
They're not the same, sir.
Why?
Because faith is coming with.
By.
Yes, hearing is.
Did you hear that? If faith comes by hearing, which means based on scripture, faith and the word of God are two different things.
Yes, sir.
I will explain. Just hold on. In other words, I can't just go and take Bible and pick up scriptures on healing and assume I have arrived at faith because I've picked up scriptures from healing. You see, The Bible is that bus. Thank you, guys. That bus is the carrier of faith. Faith, the way faith comes is by hearing. So even though what I'm looking for is faith, how I'm going to identify faith is by the word of God. So if I stay with the word of God, eventually that bus will stop and faith will come out. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? So now listen. When faith comes out, many times the faith does not look like the word of God. It does not come in King James language. But if you look at it very well and compare it with the word, you will find it in the word. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? So let me give you an example. My father, before he went to be with the Lord, one day I went to visit him and I noticed that his face was looking a bit swollen. But I didn't say anything. I went a few days back and I noticed that he had some things like boils and then his feet were swollen and everything. So I said, let's go to the hospital. So we took him to the hospital and they checked him. And when they checked him, they said, your father has kidney issues. So they now said, okay, he has to go for dialysis and so on. And so they made us do one test. They said, is it more than 200? That something was reading 300 and something up to 400. Dr. Philippus is nodding his head, you know. So the doctor now told us everything we're going to do. Then the doctor said, but there's one test I want you to carry out. See me with it tomorrow before you go for the dialysis. I was the first son. I remember that time. To do dialysis, one dialysis was about 32,000. My salary was 12,000. So if I took my whole salary, and then my salary almost times three. So I want to confess, what took me to prayer was not just the dialysis, it was even the money first, how to start the dialysis. So I went to pray. As I prayed, I sat down, I took my Bible. I went to the front of my house. I remember that day, I sat down on the veranda and I was just opening scriptures, which is what they told you to do. Open scriptures, search the scriptures in which you think you have life. Thank you. So you can sit down, sir. As I was reading it, I came to the portion of scripture that says, he himself took our sickness. And now remember, I'm standing as an intercessor. So I'm standing as the person that is sick. When you stand as an intercessor, you stand in the place of the person. So he said, he himself took our sickness and disease. As I was meditating on that, which is what Baba Kamu taught us. Sir, this was what hit me. If you took it, you cannot have it. No, you didn't hear what I said. The scripture said, he himself, the boss, what I was reading, he himself took our sickness and disease. What hit me, the revelation that came out of this, if he took it, you cannot have it. So I stood up from the place. If he took it, I cannot have it. If he took it, my father cannot have it. Now listen to me. That statement, that is what faith is. He himself took our sickness and disease. What the Spirit interpreted that scripture as, if he took it, you cannot have it. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? So, what happened was that faith came out of the word and met me. Are you hearing me? This thing you call faith is also known as the spoken word, or is known as the word that God gives to you concerning your situation. So listen to me. This one that came to me, it only came to me. Pastor Iba cannot claim it. Pastor Uche cannot claim it. Pastor Awa cannot claim it. Is anybody hearing me? My son David cannot come and claim and say, if his toe is paining him, he can't come and say, if he took it. No, I went to God
concerning a matter, and God talked to me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Auntie, if I'm broke and I come to you, I say, please, I need money, and you give me 50,000. Then Mao got broke and came to you. You may not give us the same thing. Mao cannot come to you and say, I heard that you gave Pastor 50. Why not giving me 50? Or he can promise somebody, I say, don't worry, I'm bringing 50,000. She gave. No. Now, what the church does is that somebody went and labored in the word, got a revelation, came out and declared what God told him. You didn't labor anything. You don't read anything. You don't pray anything. You just stand up and come and say, I cannot be poor. Oyedepo told you it was 3 days of prayer and fasting, dry prayer and fasting that he did, locking himself in a room. He came out from the room. We don't know what God told him. We only had the interpretation of it. I cannot be poor. And the man has refused to be poor since the day he said it. You have not gone there. You just come out. I cannot be poor. Brother, you will be poor. Brother, you will be very poor. Sir, this is the labor to enter into rest. Answer is the labor that believers don't want. And it is the reason why in church, majority of church people have become like people who go to a restaurant, so that the pastors and the big brothers that have spent time in the word will be serving them food. They don't want to go and join in the preparation of the food. So the majority of church people have become beggars of spiritual things. When the Bible says that we should labor to enter into the rest, this is the labor. The labor is that they told Pastor, they told Auntie Miriam, Pastor Apagu is coming. He is on the way. She said, where is he coming from? They said Maiduguri. She calculated Maiduguri is 6 hours. So maybe by 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock, she went to the park and stayed at the park. 2 pass, he didn't come. 3 pass, he didn't come. 4 came, he didn't come. She said, I wonder, is it not Maiduguri they say is coming from? That is what it means to wait on the Lord. Oh, you are not hearing me. You stay with that scripture. You stay with the Bible. Until 11 p.m., he finally came out. What matters is not how long. What matters is he arrived. They said, your friend Lazarus is dead. Come and wake him up. Jesus, that was Jesus, the day Jesus said, go and print poster for a new crusade. When he arrived finally, Mary looked at him and sarcastically said to him, if you were around, I don't know whether you understand that statement. That lady must be a Nigerian. She had a way of telling him her mind. She wanted to tell him her mind. She said, if you were around, my brother, your friend, you have been claiming you love him. When he was sick, you refused to come. You stayed until he died. Since you are Jesus, there's nothing we can do about the situation. Jesus looked at her and said, I am the resurrection. She said, we know. He will rise. He said, no, not last day. He said, he that believeth in me, though he has died. He was telling her what is about to happen. Listen to me. Your times are in his hand. Wait upon him. Wait. Wait until you receive this revelation. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? And I have learned something. I discovered, Mr. Joe, that the more you have become, the more your consistency in waiting upon the Lord and hearing him, the faster your faith matures. The more you wait upon the Lord, the faster your faith. So when you begin to walk with God, sometimes there are things you are looking for from God. You take 3 months, 4 months, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. But listen to me. I discovered that the more you begin to know God more,
It seems as if your access into the kernel of scripture, your, because actually the problem is not that God has not released what he wants to give you. The problem is that you have not arrived at hearing. So we fast so that we can hear. Oh, Pastor Chito put it this way. We fast so that we can fasten ourselves until we hear. Is anybody hearing me? So the first key unto releasing your faith is what? Hear it. Hear it. And listen to me. Thank you, guys. When you hear it, are you hearing me? When you hear it, nobody can tell you otherwise. The reason you are doing like this, the reason why you are neither here nor there, you didn't hear, or you didn't believe what you heard. Is anybody hearing me? So, is there a need in your life today? I want to show you the labor into entering the finished works. The Bible says, let us labor so that we can enter into his rest, right? The labor, the first labor of the finished works is a man that has the capacity to take the word of God and sit down with it until God opens his eyes. And that's why David said, open my eyes, O God, that I may behold wondrous things out of your word, which means in that word there are wondrous things, but not everybody is able to access it. Your assignment is to sit with it until he opens your eyes and you behold wondrous things out of it. You don't have a problem with sickness, sir. You have a problem of hearing what he has said about it. You don't have a problem of finances, sir. You don't have, you see, you don't even have a problem of sin. You have a problem of hearing what he said about it. See, you don't overcome a habit by fasting. My friend, we grew up together, walked with the Lord together, loves the Lord, lived a pure life. Then one day, I don't know what entered his head. He went and made a vow. God, the day I sleep with a woman, let me die. Let HIV catch me. He thought he's doing righteousness. One day I was in my house. I just saw the brother, he ran from school. I said, ah. And he's my senior in the Lord. I saw him. He came. I said, what? He said, hey, you remember that vow I made? I said, yes. He said, I've broken the vow. You can't resist sin by your strength. You need a revelation that carries you. There's a strength of revelation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's a strength of revelation that carries you. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Sir, discipline cannot help you against sin. Chido quoted a scripture that delivered me from anger. If anger was a gift, I had it. One day, a brother just said to me, something happened, and a brother said to me in school, you know, the Bible says that anger lieth in the bosom of fools. Did you know what I heard that day? You are a fool. No. Are you getting me? The moment I heard the statement, what the Holy Ghost interpreted to me is that you, this one, the way you're just angry around, you are a fool. And me, I don't like anything that is related to foolishness. My first prayer as a Christian, Lord, grant me wisdom. And now with all my prayer, the Holy Spirit just looked at me and said, you are a fool. That was how I saw anger walk out and started leaving me. The problem is a lack of revelation on that matter. Oh, I wish I had time so that I could go into telling you how that you position yourself and receive the engrafted word of God. You see, let me tell you something. If the word of God comes to you, first thing is the word of God will challenge the structures of your life. Two, the word of God will humble you. You see, many times, the reason why we are not willing to receive the word of God actually is that we are unwilling to be humble. So, because you see,
If God now says to me, how many of you know that angry people are usually very proud people? Oh, let me talk to correct people. How many of you know that angry people are usually proud people? Okay, let me turn this way. How many of you know that the root of anger is pride? Do you know why people get angry? Who does he think he is? Who do they think they are? How should they do something like this to me? When your husband slapped you and you got angry, your pain was not the slap. Your pain was that he slapped you. So the question usually, you slap me? Me, you slap me? And I can hear the Holy Ghost asking you, please, who are you? Now, the moment you remove pride, you kill the spirit of anger. So you cannot. So the Bible says, let's lay aside every haughtiness and the superfluity of naughtiness, that we might receive the anger. So the reason why people can't receive it is not, see, is God dealing with things that are standing in between you and what his spirit is telling you. That's how people come to church. Donkey years, they never change. They are hearing the words every day. Sometimes, even instead of getting changing, they're getting angry with the person that is teaching it. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying tonight? I said, is anybody hearing what I'm saying? So what do? You hear it. The woman with the issue of blood. Mark chapter 5. I hear him, we're not going there. The Bible says when she heard that Jesus of Nazareth was in town, the thing that began to birth her faith was that she heard. The next thing the Bible said, the next thing you do in releasing your faith is you confess it. The woman with the issue of blood, sir, and the woman said in her heart, if I will touch, you know, she said it before she got to where he was. It was not as if she got to where he was, then she said, there are so many people. What do I do? Kate, if I can just get close. No, no, no. She was still in her house when she confessed it. We having the same spirit of faith because we have believed it. In other words, the natural outpour of believing is confessing. See, that is why wallahi, if you love a girl, you must tell her. Are there sisters in this church? How do you know a man loves you? I'm asking the ladies, why are you pretending to me? How do you know a man loves you? What is your first frustration with a man that you know is in love with you? I say, what is your first frustration with a man that you already know is in love with you? The sisters are not talking. They are not helping my situation. What is the first sign that this one, he is not trying to make up his mind? He has arrived at a decision. What is the first thing? He says it. No matter what he is doing, until the day he says it, we are still friends. Yes. Yes. They are finally thanking me. I said, no matter what he does, until the day he says it, you are just friends. If you believe it, you will say it. Taking me out is not a proof. Buying me stuff is not a proof. Going to our house and hanging around is not a proof. What is the proof of believing? For with the heart a man, can we extend that? With the heart a brother believes. But with the mouth, look at your neighbor, tell him, open your mouth, sir. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. I was in Bauchi to do some work.
Yes, sir.
And the steward of the house where I was staying, I came back in the night and the steward walked up to me. I saw him talking with some people. And he came up to me and said, "Sir, please, I need your help." I said, "What?" He said, "That boy and girl, they are my friends. They came earlier in the day and I told them to wait for you, that there's a pastor that just came. They need counseling, please wait." So I said, "Okay, fine." So I sat with them and we began to talk. "What's the problem?" "The girl and the guy are fighting. They've been going out and issues were coming up." So, in the course of the conversation, I said to the guy, I just asked, "How long have you people been in this relationship?" Then this, he was, you know, men don't always have the number. So the girl said, 14 years. When I looked at both of them, they were either in their late 30s or early 40s. At least the guy I know was 40. So which means that if you minus 14 from his life, he was what? How old was he? 26 when they started. I don't know how young she, how old she was. If you minus from her life, we don't know how young, how old she was. So I said, okay. So we continue talking. When the discussion got heated, the guy, because the way they sat, I was sitting like this. Then the friend was sitting in their center. The girl was on this side and the boy was on this side. He was their fellowship president. So he brought the matter to me. Then the guy turned across the table to where the girl was, did like this. And he said to the house, "Have I ever told you I'm going to marry you?" And truly, I think for the first time, it occurred to the girl that this guy had never, even by mistake, informed her or showed her an intention to marry her. At that point, I hope you know my counseling ended. Let me digress. That's how many of you are hanging with people. Listen to me. Do you know that you can find a woman and your father will say no? Your uncles can say no. Are you getting me? But once you get a commitment, once there's a sign of a desire by the person, you have hope that something can come out of it. Yeah. Look at your neighbor, tell him, say it. But you know I love you. No, I don't know. I don't know. Knowing love is not by discerning of spirits. Finally, 3 points. Hear it, say it, and what? Do it. Someone said, do it. For faith without works is what? Is dead. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews 3 and 4, the Bible says that the same word that they heard was the same word that we also heard. But the word did not profit them. It was not beneficial to them because they did not mix it with faith. What does it mean to mix the word with faith? The Bible, in other words, they already had the word. They actually got the revelation. They possibly even confessed the revelation. But the problem was that there was no corresponding action. Now, listen to me. I want to make a point here. You know, people have said faith without works is dead. So, they now assume that because there is works in faith, any work I do is a work of faith. Wrong. Now, so let's look at what scripture says. When God was going to walk with Abraham, what God said to Abraham as his corresponding action was what? Leave your father's house and your kindred and everything and go to a land that I will show you. Are you getting that? That was the action God demanded of Abraham to do. Are we understanding that? The woman that her husband, that was a prophet, and now had gone into debt and their children were in slavery, what did the prophet say to her? Go get many vessels, lock the room behind you and your son, and pour the oil into as many vessels as possible. That was the action, right? Which means that if there was another broke person, it may not be that you should go into your room and lock the door. Is that you hear what I'm saying? Jesus healed many people, but different instructions for their healing came. There were people Jesus told them, go and show yourself to the priest. As they began to go, they were healed. There were people that Jesus spat on the ground, made clay and put on their eyes, and said, go and wash in the river. So listen, just because you have to take an action does not mean every action is the action that you must take. So Joshua chapter 1 says to us, this book of the law shall not depart from your eyes, but thou shalt meditate upon it day and night, for thou shalt, and thou shalt observe to do. Which means that, listen, as I am reading the word, this book of the law shall not depart from thy eyes, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that you might observe. Where is my eyes? It's on the word. Which means if I'm observing something, where is the observation going to come from? The Bible didn't say take off your eyes and observe what is happening around you. He said thou shalt observe to do according as it is written. Which means that every time you sit with the word, there are instructions that will come to you from the word.
Yes, sir.
Don't just wake up and go and find something to do. You are trusting God for baby. So you went and got baby clothes because somebody bought baby clothes. No. God may tell you, take your broom. Come and sweep church every Saturday. You are not in sanctuary. God just said, the answer to this issue is sweep. And whenever God gives you that instruction, actually, God doesn't bother about the sweeping. There is something in you that God wants to deal with that sweeping. So God is now giving you a corresponding action, not as a price for what he's going to do in your life, but because of something that he must work in your life to his glory. Oh, hey, somebody's not hearing what I'm saying. So Pastor Chindok was talking, and I don't know whether you heard what he said, because some people didn't hear. He said at the first day of this teaching, he said, somebody here, your food should be in pastor's house for the next 12 months. One day, we're trusting God for a property, specifically this where the school is. And put together, we need about 21 million to buy the property. And sir, I don't know why opportunities always come when you don't have money. Is it only me that it happens to? No, I wonder, is it only me it happens to? Every time one opportunity comes, it is the time you don't have the money. We had prayed. I walked out of my house. I was coming. We've been trusting God for 4 years for this building. When it was even time to sell the building, they gave it to somebody else. And some people have made an offer, 3 million more than us. I was walking. For those of you who have been to my house on foot, if you have followed this road to my house on foot, you know there is a place where there's a gutter. I was about crossing that gutter. Then the Holy Spirit said to me, he showed me a particular church. And he said to me, I want you to take so-so amount and give it to that church that are building. Ah. No, sir. I thought God was going to say, there's this particular church that are going to give you. He said, take that amount, give it to that church. So I took the money. I said, I was standing there. It was there. Because God taught me something. Let me tell you what God told me many years ago. He said, the time of your sowing determines the time of your reaping. When I learned that, when God tells me something, I do it there. It's there. The people who work with me know, sometimes I'm in a conference somewhere, they'll just get a chat. Said, do this right now. Or send this right now. Or I'm somewhere. The time of your sowing determines the time of your reaping. So I stood right there and did what the Lord told me. The rest is history. God will tell you the corresponding action.
You know, are we together, church? Are we together, church? Stand up, doctor, and you stand up. If we close, today's last day of 360, right? If we close after service, then Kate says to you, Kai, I don't have money. I use all my money for transportation. Now I don't know how to go home. And she said, please, do you have some cash, doctor? Then you say to her, I don't have cash, but I have, my ATM is with me. Is that okay? Take the ATM, go and get some cash. And Dennis is standing beside you when you were, when she was asking you that she doesn't have money, can you help her with money? And but Dennis walks away before you gave her the ATM card. Now she's on her way to go to the ATM and she meets Dennis on the way. So Dennis asks her, how now did doctor give you money as you, do you have money? Do you have money, transport money now? What is going to be your response to Dennis? You have. Who gave you? I thought it was ATM card she gave you. The money is inside the ATM. But can you give key? Can you give Okada man ATM? Okay, how you say you have money? Okay, climb bike now with ATM. Listen, what she gave her, are you hearing me? It's called the substance. When you are going through a challenge, God gives you his word. Can I say something? Stop looking for connection. Look for God's word. God's word will bring the connection. Stop looking. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen to me. God, that ATM is the word of God that was given to you. Your capacity to take the ATM and walk to the place where you have an ATM machine is the work that is required for you to access. Now, Dennis can get angry with doctor and say, but doctor has money now. Is it just 1,000 naira or something? That she, so people will look at you and say, you are serving God and nothing is happening in your life. The problem is that you have not added works. You have not carried the ATM and gone to the place. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Sit down. So there is a labor to entering. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There is a labor to entering. Please, I want you to take these three things. What are the three keys to releasing your faith? Hear it. Say it. Stand to your feet. Hear it. Say it. Please. Tell three people, I want this thing engraved in your spirit. Tell your neighbor, hear it. Tell him like you're telling him a secret. Say, hear it, hear it, hear it. Tell him, say it, say it, say it, say it. I say, and do it. These are the three codes you must live by. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Please, I feel by the Spirit to impress it, to emphasize it, that you must not begin until you hear it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your assignment, dear sister, you are looking for a husband. Your assignment is not carrying food flags to people's house. That is not hearing it. Your assignment is not makeup. Makeup is nice. But the problem is that today your hair is red, next tomorrow is yellow, another time you mix red, green, and purple. Hear it. Let me tell you something funny. Because of the way I know Baba, I have come to some certain conclusions. And I thought it was only me. If I asked the tutor was living here, he looked at me and said, Kasam Babumu. You know, there's a way we have understood him. One woman gave a testimony about him that he came to Port Harcourt and they met.
And she told him that she was traveling the next day. She's a minister. She was having a program at using Akwa Ibomo, where one state close to that, I know that's Akwa Ibomo, where. So she told him that she was having a program. He said, ah, he too has an evening meeting there. She was having a morning meeting. He has an evening meeting in the same state. So she said to him, okay, why don't we go together? I'll drive us. So he said, fine. So that she went to his hotel room around 7 or so. Baba did not come out of his hotel room till around 11 or something like that. She was so offended. As far as she was concerned, she has missed the meeting where she's supposed to be before they started the journey. And while they were on their way, she was trying to call the people where the program was. Nobody was picking. And she thought they were just angry with her and they were not picking. So they arrived, I think, maybe around 1 or 2 o'clock. So she now said, she begged him that before she would take him to his hotel room, because his own meeting is in the evening, before I take you to your hotel room, let's go to the place of the meeting so that I will tell the people that I'm sorry. So she drove to the place of the meeting. So the coordinator saw her car, and the coordinator came out and said, thank you, ma. Thank you for coming now. That the morning meeting was shifted to evening. We've been looking for you to tell you. May you hear. So when she came to the car, she was ashamed of herself. She didn't know now how to tell him what happened. So, as we were preparing somewhere, I began to sense Baba will not come. I began to sense. If you were in church that day, you remember I said to this thing from stage, I said to him, sir, you will come back again. I said, sir, you will come back again. It was not a product of sense. When I was telling him, you will come back again, we have bought tickets and sent it to Pastor Chris. My wife said to me, let's buy the return ticket. I said, hold on. In fact, I said, hold on time, because she was about to give instruction for the return ticket against Monday to be bought. Then she told me. Then I said, hold on. Don't buy. It was as if I was angry with her. Don't buy that ticket until I tell you. If you don't hear, the kind of mistake you'll be making in life, the kind of mistake you'll be making. Pastor Mao said, no. He was so worried. He was inside that place. And, sir, should I check Yola? Should I check for a flight that's coming to Yola? Because Pastor Chris called us and said, he arrived at the airport, but he missed the flight. What can we do about it? He's waiting. That is there something? Can we do Bauchi? We told him Bauchi flight has already landed. Can we do this? I looked at Mao. I said, Mao, be still and know. Mao, you need to repent. That I am God. Yes, by yesterday evening, it was obvious that the vessel for that meeting was Pastor Chika. That's what I can tell you here. But I can tell you the trouble would have entered had Pastor Chris come. That one is the caucus that will know. My prayer for you is that may you hear. May you pay the price to hear. You see, let me tell you, you never know what you missed until you see the consequence of not hearing. Can we lift up our hands and bless God? Father, in the name of Jesus, the entrance of your word gives light and it gives understanding to them who are simple. We receive simplicity of heart. We receive simplicity of heart. Let the things that we have heard rest in us. Ooh. See, the Lord just told me something. The Lord said to me, there are some people that are going through some very difficult situations. You are going through some very difficult issues in your life. And you don't know the way out. And the Lord said to me to tell you that incline your heart to His wisdom. The Bible says we speak wisdom among them who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But the Bible says that I have not seen, ears have not heard, it has not entered into the hearts of men, the things which the Lord has prepared for them that love Him. But these same things that no one knows, that all the people you have talked to, all the people that have intervened, all the people that have tried, have not been able to solve it. The Bible says he has revealed it. Let me say this to you. I was going through something one time. Let me share this with you. I was going through something one time, and I didn't know what to do. And it was a fierce opposition. And I had a meeting like this. And the Holy Spirit literally came down. You know what the Holy Spirit told me? He said, go and meet the person, kneel down. The person is junior to me. The Holy Spirit said, go and meet the person, kneel down to him. Tell him you don't have anything to say. Tell him to forgive you whether you are wrong or you are right. It took me like 4 months to arrive at it. But that began to the beginning of the end of that situation. Everywhere the person went to make issue, when people say, okay, what did the man say to you? He said he came and knelt down. They said, there's no case here. They said, there's no case here. There's nothing here. May you hear something. May you hear a wisdom. May God grant to you a wisdom. There is a wisdom you will hear. There's a wisdom you will hear that will deliver you from every hand of the enemy. Tonight, may God grant you that wisdom. May you hear it. In the name of Jesus.
Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.